You have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. I'm going to continue with what we started last week on it being harvest time. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to go look at the podcast on our site, goodnewsaugusta.com. But let's read one of the verses that I shared last week, John 4, verse 34. And I'm going to read this from the Message translation. It says, Jesus said, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it'll be a time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time." And so we declared that. We shared that last week. I believe we're in a great time of harvest. And I shared this last week how we're a part of a network of churches and ministries that are going to raise up and train 1 million believers. And we call them life givers. We're going to raise up 1 million believers to impact over 100 million people with the gospel. And I believe it'll be well beyond 100 million, but that's a good place to start. And so this was officially launched August 28th when we were in Australia at the ASCM Global Conference with Jim and Jan Newton. And already since that date, in this network that we're working with, we've had 200 people have been saved, including folks here at Good News Church. And I can say that people are being saved every day. I mean, that's biblical, right? And this is something that we want to be a part of, and this is something that we're going to be strong leaders in this movement, in this group. But how many know that with vision comes provision? Everything that God's given you and everything that you can see on the inside that the Lord has given to you, is there's finances, there's resources to go along with that vision. He says that the laborer is worthy of his hire. So I just got some good news for you today. Anybody have a big vision? Anybody? A couple people? Well, resources are coming your way. And if you don't have a vision, you're in the right place. Because here we talk about this and the purposes of God and what He's doing, and all of us are going to have a part in this, so you just stick with us. If you don't have a vision and a plan for your life, you'll get one while you're here. So with the vision comes provision. Every God-given vision in the Scriptures was provided for. I'll just name a few. In the garden, Adam and Eve provided for. Noah and the ark provided for. Abraham, well provided for. Moses coming out of Egypt, well provided for. David and the temple provided for. And we can just go on and on. Old Testament and New Testament, Jesus' ministry, Paul's ministry, well provided for. And so, it's no exception for us and for you. Now, my sons, Harry and Grayson, went to India this year, for the month of June. That trip cost about $7,000. And during this trip, they trained 1,000 life givers. In the I Give Life course, 1,000. So, if you know, I'm an ex-accountant, ex-controller, so I know numbers. And so if my math is wrong, you can correct me, but that's $7 per life giver trained. Does that make sense? $7,000, they trained 1,000 people, so that's $7 per person. So if we're going to raise up 1 million believers, it's going to take at least $7 million. Now, in India, our dollar is very strong there, so we got a lot for our money, so it's not going to be quite the same. So I'm estimating about $10 million. You're like, $10 million at least to raise up 1 million believers. Now, it makes sense to me, and I don't know if you believe this, that Good News Church is going to have a significant part in in raising and giving of these funds. So turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Now, you may or may not be excited about that. I don't know. But you should be excited, because this means hundreds of thousands of dollars over and above our budget, normal budget, is going to come in for this. So who is it going to come from? Turn to your neighbor again. So here we go, guys. I'm going to say it. We have a multi-million dollar vision. You can say amen or oh me. We've already launched and we're already moving. Well, what can one church do? One church can make a huge difference. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 19. Paul's letters in the epistles are written primarily to churches. And so it's no exception here in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version, says this, "And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church or assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account." I'm an accountant, I know what that means. A debit and credit card account. That means resources coming in and money going out. "In giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs, not only once, but a second time. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which has increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. But I have your full payment and more. I have everything I need and amply supplied, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are the fragrant odor of an offering and sacrifice which God welcomes and in which He delights. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul did amazing things. Paul went on missionary journeys. He established churches. He went back and continued to build those churches, worked with, set up pastors, raised up disciples, and really, you know, the church today is a result of those missionary journeys. Isn't that amazing? And they say there's 2 billion Christians in the world. You can look back to here. And so this Philippian church was the only at one time, I'm sure there was others, but he doesn't mention it. This Philippian church was the only church that was sowing on a regular basis into Paul's ministry. Now let me ask you, was that good seed sown? Did they make a difference? I mean, we owe thanks and gratitude to the Philippian church. But verse 19 is a verse we quote so often for us as individuals, right? Who can quote it to me? In whatever translation. Nate, go ahead. What is it? "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Who knows that verse? Who's quoted that verse? Use that when you're believing in God or you've got a need or praying about things. And rightly so, I believe it's a verse to be used. But in the context of this verse was written to a church. It was written to a group of people, not just an individual. So this church, you know, in the Philippian church, but I'm telling you, Good News Church, we should claim this verse, "My God," and I'll read it from the Amplified, "My God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need." So he's talking to us about our vision, about our mission, about where we're going, this verse, we can claim this verse. So whether it's millions or billions of dollars, it doesn't matter to God. God's got more than enough. But I put before you today, and you may even be the guest here, or an attender, or a member of this church, and I put this before you, and there is a huge opportunity before you, but I don't know if you're in a place where you can see it. Because God's going to get the resources to it, to us. And I'm giving you an opportunity of whether you can be a part of this. And if you will, and get your heart involved in this, resources, more resources, will flow into your hands. It says here we have a debit and credit account with God. We have got a harvest of blessing accumulating to our account. I know the people here. I know how generous you are. You've got a harvest of blessing accumulating in your account. And this is debit and credit. And so I believe there's harvest coming to your house. I believe there's harvest coming to your family. And I'm talking about financial harvest. And I'm trying to raise your expectation, because with expectation brings results. If you don't believe it, you don't receive it. If you walk to the mailbox down and depressed, and is this going to be another bill, another debt to pay, and you open it up and you get all depressed, we ought to be rejoicing when we walk to the mailbox. Or someone knocks on the door, or someone calls. Instead of letting the phone ring, we're just running to the phone to try to pick it up, because something good is going to happen to you, because we are people that we expect miracles. And so when we go to the mailbox, woo! It's mail time! Because we have expectation. We don't dread going to work. We love to go to work. We love to take that phone call. We love to rush to the door when someone knocks on the door. We love it when the IRS calls us. Woo! Something good's going to happen. The IRS is calling. Now, I know I'm getting out there. But we've got to raise our expectation. We've got to see what God's doing. With the vision comes provision. Our God will fill to the full our every need. Now here at Good News Church, we have a history of supernatural finances. Coming into our 20th year, we've had so many supernatural things. I'll just name a few of them. First of all, Susie and I started Good News Church with $5,000. And so we sowed that seed into Good News Church. And I want you to know that was the best decision we've ever made financially, was to sow that money. Because look at what's happened over the years. Look at what's happened in this church. I mean, that was thrilled about that seed and what's the harvest and the fruit on that seed. I'd do it again. Our first weekend of our services that we had probably about 30 people there. We had a guest minister in town we called it our grand opening, and this minister preached on faith. It was awesome messages. We need to find those messages, Grayson, and get those out if we have them. But that offering for the guest minister, the first offering we raised for a guest minister, the offering amount, the check we wrote him was for $8,000. Now, I handed the check folded up to the minister. He lived in Alabama. And I was just kind of, you know, joking around with him. And I said, I'm sorry, I wish it could have been more. And handed him the check. He stuck it in his pocket. Now, most time when ministers, when you give them an honorarium check, I mean, they'll do that, stick it in their pocket, but the minute they're out of their sight, they'll pull that thing open, they're going to look in there, see what the check is. Well, this minister got all the way to, He didn't even look at it. He thought it was going to be so little, and so he didn't even open it. Got home and to Alabama, did some things, and finally remembered there was a check in there, and wouldn't look at it, and it was $8,000. He about fell on the floor.
And this is the guy. Woo! This is the guy
that spoke in churches of 1,000 or more people. And this was the largest offering at that point he'd ever received from a group of 30 people. Supernatural. It's not uncommon for Good News Church to give over $50,000 a year into other ministries. We've done that. And it's been miraculous what a band of people did in getting this building. Put down $125,000, did about $30,000 in renovations to get this facility. That's impossible. But God did it. So we've got a history, and there's so many other things. You've got your testimonies, but so many supernatural things have happened in this church. So when we're talking about this, I believe it. I believe it. I believe God can do impossible things. I believe that God can get resources to you through expected and unexpected sources. And so I'm telling you today, it's time to break out of the normal and get into over and above. Who wants to break out of the normal and get into over and above? God wants to do that. But the big question is, can we believe for that? Can we as a church believe for that? Can we believe for over and above? And again, it's going to take faith. It's not going to happen because I say it. It's going to happen because we believe it. We receive it. We start speaking it. We start talking about it. Start meditating on the Word. Start declaring it over each other. Praying for each other. In that kind of environment, God can do amazing things. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians 9. Eddie touched on this today. But 2 Corinthians 9, I want to read this from the Amplified Version. And this would be a good verse to put before you. You probably did it in the past, but sometimes we let things slip. Sometimes scriptures become just comfortable. They don't really have any impact, but let's look at this with the fresh eyes today. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. When he says that, it's easy to forget. So he says, remember this. We need to remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly. Grudgingly means when you give it, it's like, you're kind of saying, boy, I wish I didn't give this. He who sows, nobody here, right? He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves. He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. And what we're talking about here is Spirit-led giving. There's never, ever going to be any arm-twisting here. There's never, ever going to be any obligation. There's never, ever going to be any pressure put on you to give. And we have trained you, we've taught you to be led by the Spirit. And when we receive offerings, if you ever wonder why we take the time to do offerings like we do, because we're trying to build your faith. We're trying to get resources into your hand. So we've decided to bring the Word to encourage you while you give so that you give in faith. It's not about getting your money. We don't take offerings, we receive offerings. We receive them. We receive your tithes and offerings. But we want you to give when you're giving in a place of to believe God, the promises for the tither and for the seed sower. We want you to know them and expect and believe. but the cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver. And so what we're talking about here, and some people may be already turned off. I don't care. You may be turned off. I don't care. But I know there's some here that are hearing me today, and that we're sparking something. God's got a great vision, and He's got provision for that. I want you to be a part of it. And you may be in a place where, how is that possible? I mean, things are really tough for me right now. Well, do you remember a fisherman named Peter? A fisherman named Peter was discouraged. He had caught nothing, and Jesus came along and asked Jesus to use his boat. Or Jesus asked him to use Peter's boat. And so he launched out, preached the gospel, and then afterwards he said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." God got involved in his situation. He had a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fish, so much so he had to call his partners. Now, is this God of Peter and the God of the Gospels and the God of the Book of Acts, has that passed away? Is it the same God? Can He do what He did for Peter? Can He do it for you? So you may be here today on your last dollar, but I want you to be encouraged. God can turn it around. He will turn it around. Get involved in what God's doing. And do it cheerfully. This is my last dollar. I mean, I believe we'll have some offerings here at Good News Church where we're actually going to be cheering. They had an offering in the Old Testament where the leader had to say, "Stop the giving, you're giving too much." Wouldn't that be fun? See, I tell you, we're in an amazing time. We're in harvest time. Harvest time is busy, it's work, but it's a lot of fun. And God's going to use all of us in this harvest time. He's going to use you. But like Eddie was saying, He wants it all. And finances is a part of that. And finances represent our heart. And so if we're not excited, if we're not excited about 1 million believers, if we're not excited about 100 million people being reached, then something's not right. You know what I'm saying? Something's not right. And so if that's you today, you're going to need to go home and spend some time with God. Spend some time in the Word and start getting His heart. Because God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires the nations to be saved. That's His heart. But it's so easy in the time we are to get distracted. It's so easy in the time that we're living in to get focused, because there's so many other things out there. But I want to be focused. I want you to be focused. Now listen, for the cheerful givers, let's keep on reading. And God is able to make all grace. Everybody say all grace.
All grace.
Every favor and earthly blessing. Say that. Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Now you're not as excited about that verse as you should be. Why is that? Because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. As it is written, "He, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity." Now, I'm going to read to you now the purpose of the increase. The purpose of the increase. What's the purpose? God does things, He has a purpose. He's got vision, He's got mission, He's got a purpose. And where the church has gotten off, you know, Mark 4, verse 19 says, cares of the world, lust for other things. It doesn't say bad things. Deceitfulness of riches. And we've gotten off. The church has gotten off. But if you keep this next verse in mind, that this is the purpose for the increase, it'll help you. Thus you will be enriched in all things in every way, so that you can be generous. And your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. Cheerful, full of joy, giver, so we can be generous. This is a generous church. You're generous people. I believe God's going to get more resources into our hands because we've got a bigger vision. We need more resources. So let me ask you today, are you going to be one of the ones that are going to be open to having more resources come into your hands? Now, I've seen some dramatic things happen since last year. I don't really know what, maybe last summer, I don't know what time it was. But I started confessing some things over this church and over my our family's finances. And I've been confessing these four things. You may want to write them down. We can put them in the bulletin for next week. But this would be a good confession. And I do this confession every time I give an offering. Every time I give something, I say these words over my offering. I say this: all bills paid on time. When you got your bills paid on time, no late fees. Everybody say, praise God for no late fees.
Praise God for no late fees.
You could save up all your late fees and send somebody to the mission field. All bills paid on time. All debts paid off. Woo! All debts paid off. Who likes that one? I just love saying that. All debts paid off. Say it with me. All debts paid off. What would that be like, Nate? Woo! I love this next one. We are furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Meaning we can give like we want to. It's fun to give. It's fun to send people to other nations. It's fun to help someone in need. It's fun to help other ministries. And then I love this one, because this will be a good one for a lot of people here. We have money in our reserves. And you're like, well, what's that? We have money in our reserves for future needs. Meaning, you've got a savings account. Now, don't raise your hand, but who wants to have some actual money in your savings account? So I've been saying that. Should we say it together right now? Let's say it. Say it with some faith. Say it with some expectancy. All bills paid on time. All debts paid off.
All debts paid off.
We are furnished in abundance.
We are furnished in abundance.
For every good work and charitable donation.
For every good work and charitable donation.
We have money in our reserves.
We have money in our reserves.
For future needs.
For future needs.
Add that to your confession list. And then not only say it over your family, but say it over Good News Church. Now, I want to close today. We've got something else we've got to do for the service, but I want to close today, and I want to read some scriptures about you, about Good News Church, and about the people of Good News Church. There's some verses in the book of Acts. I don't know how they got in there. I mean, because that was, several thousand years ago. But there's some verses talking about Good News Church in the book of Acts. Have you found those verses? Let's look over in Acts 4, verse 32. If you got your Bible, you can just mark in there, sit and say, they're talking about me. They're talking about Good News Church. Acts 4, verse 32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul. That's good, isn't it? Company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own, but everything they had was in common and for use of all. Now, we're not talking about communism here. You have your money. You decide what to do with it. No one's telling you what to do with your money. You read over in Acts 5 about Ananias and Sapphira. Peter said to Ananias, wasn't it your own money to do what you want with it? That you decided it was under your power. So we're not talking about, some kind of, new system here. But it's a spirit. It's an attitude. It's a heart thing that Eddie was talking about. It's from the heart. It's about generosity. Now, God has been generous to us. Shouldn't we emulate Him? Wasn't He extravagant in His giving? Shouldn't we be that way towards others? And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace. Say it, great grace.
Great grace.
Loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Great grace on you. Great grace on you. Great grace on you. Great grace on that whole row. Loving kindness and favor and goodwill, great grace rests upon Good News Church, rests upon you. Let's say it.
Great grace.
Rests upon us. Now look at this, guys. We're going to have to get our faith. Sean, we're going to have to raise our faith.
Got it.
Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them.
Amen.
Wow! I want that. Bills paid, debts paid off, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Money and savings? That's good, Alberta. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them, for as many were owners of lands or houses, proceeded to sell them, and one by one they gave back the amount received from the sales, and laid it at the feet of the apostles, special messengers. The reason why they did that is because they weren't giving it to a person, they were giving it to God. Then distribution was made according as anyone had need. Then it goes on to talk about Barnabas. I won't read it, but you need to go look at that about Barnabas. I'm believing for some Barnabases here. So when you got time, go back and read that. Put that somewhere. Talking about Good News Church. talking about us. Now let's stand for a moment. We'll do this. I'm going to turn the service over to Susie. Let's stand for a moment. I want you to catch hands with people. And I want you to pray for them. And I want you to pray for them for wisdom. And you can add some other things. But pray for them for wisdom, because I'm telling you, first of all, you can call in increase to them. Increase is coming. But then ask God for wisdom for them, that they know what to spend, what to give, and what to save. Amen? And I want you to mark this day today. I want you to mark September 13th, 2015 as the day the changes happened here at Good News Church. Amen? So let's do that. Let's pray for each other right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I call in increase. Increase in the name of Jesus. Increase. It's harvest time. A harvest time of souls. Harvest time of disciples. And I thank you, Father, with the vision comes provision. And so, Lord, we thank you. It comes to the hands of the people of Good News Church. Come into their hands. Money, come into their hands. Resources, come into their hands in the name of Jesus. I declare increase. I declare over and above. Coming into this ministry, into the people here, over and above, more than enough. Furnish in abundance. And Lord, we have the wisdom to be good stewards. We have wisdom to know how to handle the resources. It'll not ruin us. It'll not sidetrack us. It'll not get us off track. But we'll have wisdom to know what to spend, what to give, and what to save. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Now let's just give Him praise. Let's just give Him thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's harvest time. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Lord, raise up some Barnabases here. Raise them up, Lord. And Father, there's not one needy or destitute person here in this church. Great grace upon us. Hallelujah. Thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.